In December 1573, Sir Francis Walsingham officially took on the position of Secretary Walsingham after his mentor William Cecil had become treasurer. In his post, Walsingham would distinguish himself as a brilliant spymaster and his willingness to use virtually any tactics to collect information by virtually any means. Beale, an observer of Walsingham's methods, once said that to be a secretary whereof he is himself to keep the key for his signets, ciphers, and secret intelligence, distinguishing the boxes or tills rather by letters than by the names of the countries or places, keeping that only unto himself, for the names may inflame a desire to come by such things. As a means of keeping track of all the information that he acquired, Walsingham kept a series of notebooks that detailed every minute detail. Walsingham also employed a network of suppliers, both official and unofficial spies. His official suppliers were typical men stationed at points of entry into the country, reviewing bits of information they heard and looking over documents crossing the borders. His unofficial suppliers were more a network of informants positioned around the world that sent him summaries of recent news. In addition to these collectors of information, Walsingham employed certain types of men of a more unsavory background who were recruited for shady tasks. These operations usually involved the need for more specific information than informal news could bring him. These operations were costly and often dangerous to the men who undertook them. These men were found at the very bottom of English society, criminals who often found themselves in situations they could not control, but who could profit from selling information or service to Walsingham's agents. One such man found himself in a prison cell with a Catholic priest and attempted to use his circumstances to his advantage. Historians generally agree, even today, some 450 years after his service, that Walsingham was the only person who knew just how extensive his network was and whom it encompassed. In the summer of 1583, Walsingham gained an incredibly useful informant, the French ambassador's secretary. With his help, Walsingham acquired several cartons worth of letters between the French ambassador, Mauvoisier, and Mary, Queen of Scots. Among these letters was one addressed to Mary that was to be passed on to the mysterious Sieur de la Tour. This Sieur de la Tour turned out to be Francis Throckmorton, one of Mary's couriers. In response, Walsingham sent several of his men to search Throckmorton's house and to arrest him. Ironically, Throckmorton was caught red-handed while encoding a letter for Mary, and a search of his house turned up other useful documents that proved conclusively yet another Catholic plot to murder the Queen of England. One of these documents included a map detailing accessible ports for an invading fleet. With this information, Walsingham authorized the use of torture to gain any crucial information Throckmorton might be withholding. Throckmorton did eventually confess that Mary's allies in France had hired him to inspect possible areas for an invasion of 5,000 men to be led by the Duke of Guise. He also admitted that the Spanish ambassador Mendoza was involved in the scheme and that he planned to commit 20,000 Spanish troops to the cause. Elizabeth's three most important players in her government, Walsingham, Cecil, who had now become Lord Burghley, and Leicester, confronted Mendoza with the evidence of his intrigues, and they gave him 15 days to leave the country. The issue with the French ambassador was handled quite differently. Lists of charges were drawn up, but ultimately the entire matter was dropped. Walsingham concluded that rather than risk an open break with France, that the mere presentation of evidence would force Mauvoisier to cease his correspondence with Mary altogether. Francis Throckmorton was hanged in 1584.